The store is closing and the lights feel harsher than usual. Receipts crumple, drawers slam, carts rattle over tile. She stands behind the counter with her hands locked at her sides, waiting for the meeting she did not ask for. The complaint already has her name on it. The words already live in an email she cannot pull back. Unwanted touch. Comments that clung to her long after her shift. Now she sits in a cramped back office that smells like old paper and cheap air freshener. The manager folds his arms and calls it a misunderstanding. HR reads from a script and calls it coaching. The supervisor she reported leans in the corner, quiet and clean, watching her. Every question feels like a test of whether she will back down. By the time they are done, one line keeps echoing inside her head. You misunderstood. Chapter 1, The Meeting After Hours. The metal gate rolled down over the front entrance with a rough scrape that carried through the whole store. Customers had been cleared out. Music cut off mid-song. The floor felt different when the building was empty, quieter, but heavier, like every sound hit and stayed. She stood with the others near the registers, clutching the edge of her name badge with her thumb. Night crew waited in a thin semicircle while the manager talked through sales numbers and reminders. His voice moved fast over targets and shrink and add-on items. It barely landed in her ears. She could feel the supervisor across from her without looking at him. She had already written his name in the complaint, already described the way his hand had stayed on her lower back too long while he blocked the doorway, already typed the comments about her body that were brushed off as jokes. She had sent the message to HR that morning on a break, fingers shaking over the screen, heart banging like she was stealing from the till. Now he laughed at one of the manager's lines about holiday rush, an easy sound that blended with the others. To anyone watching, the floor team looked like a normal group easing into closing time. Only she felt the split, like she stood on the edge of something the rest of them pretended not to see. Before we break, one quick note. The manager's voice cooled. He glanced at the clipboard in his hand, then at her, then away again too fast. Investigations and complaints are handled through the proper channels, he said. If anyone has questions or concerns, you follow the process. Gossip helps no one. The word investigations landed like a dropped box. A few heads turned. Someone coughed. The supervisor shifted his weight and looked down at his shoes. Her face grew hot. The complaint had been private. She had imagined a quiet email exchange, maybe a scheduled call. Not this vague warning floated in front of the whole team. No one said her name. They did not have to. She felt every person measuring who avoided whose eyes. All right, that is it. Get your closings done. I need tills pulled in 10. The group broke apart. She moved toward her section, fingers fumbling with hangers. Price tags swayed as she straightened them. Her breathing would not even out. A coworker slid into the aisle next to her, straightening a row of folded shirts that did not need it. You good? The coworker asked, voice low. Fine. The answer came out too fast, too sharp. She swallowed and tried again. I am fine, just tired. The coworker kept her eyes on the shirts. People who complain do not last long here, she said quietly. Careful what you write down. The words hit harder than the manager's speech. Not a threat, not support either, just a rule of the place, spoken like weather. The coworker moved off before she could answer. Her phone buzzed in her pocket, a new email notification. She was not allowed to check it on the floor, but the vibration itself felt like proof that the process was already moving without her. Later, when tills were counted and the store finally dimmed, the manager caught her eye. Office, he said, now please. The back office was smaller than she remembered. A gray desk pressed against the wall, two metal chairs that wobbled, stacks of paper, a stale coffee smell that never left. The air felt used. The HR representative sat on the far side of the desk, an open folder in front of her. She had a printed form with boxes and narrow lines. Her expression tried to be soft but kept slipping back to neutral. The supervisor was already there, leaning in the corner, arms folded. His name badge shined under the fluorescent light. His shirt was smooth, his hair lined up clean. Nothing about him looked like trouble. The manager closed the door behind them. Have a seat, he said. She sat. Her knees bounced once, then twice. She forced them still. First, the HR rep said, looking down at the form, thank you for coming in to talk. We take concerns very seriously. The line sounded rehearsed, memorized. She had heard the same tone when they warned about social media use, when they reviewed harassment policies during onboarding. It might have been comforting in another setting. Here it scraped across her nerves. "I want you to walk us through what happened," the HR rep said. "In your own words." She took a breath. The story was simple in her head. The supervisor waiting near the break room door, his hand at her back, pressing her closer as she tried to step around him. The comment about how good she looked when she bent down to restock lower shelves. The feeling of being pinned by a joke. But when she spoke, sentences tangled, dates blurred. She tried to place the day. It was last week. No, the week before. It was her closing shift after that schedule mix-up. She remembered the playlist in the background, the smell of the fried food a coworker had snuck in. She remembered how her chest tightened when she realized his body blocked the only path out. The HR rep wrote small notes that did not match the weight of what she described. Physical contact, comment on appearance, perception of discomfort. The manager watched her with a tired look that belonged to someone dealing with numbers, not people. He nodded at moments that did not need nodding. When she finished, the room felt thinner. "Thank you," the HR rep said. "Now, a few follow-up questions." They were not about him. They were about her. Had anyone else ever had issues with her before? Had she been under unusual stress lately? Did she remember the exact wording, or was she paraphrasing? Could she see how some people might interpret the situation differently? "Sometimes," the HR rep said carefully, "coaching and feedback can feel uncomfortable, especially if tensions are high on the floor." "That was not coaching," she said. Her voice cracked. She cleared her throat. "He had me pinned in a doorway. He was laughing. That is not coaching." The supervisor finally spoke. "I do not recall pinning you anywhere," he said. His voice sounded calm. "We joke all the time on the floor. I treat everyone the same. I might have brushed against you walking through, but that is it. If that made you uncomfortable, I am sorry. That was not my intent." The HR rep wrote intent question mark on the form. The manager leaned forward. "You know this is a busy environment," he said. "We are shoulder to shoulder. People bump into each other all the time." "That is not what this was," she said. Silence stretched. The clock on the wall ticked. Someone rolled a cart past the office, wheels squeaking over tile. The HR rep looked up. "Sometimes," she said gently, "in high-stress settings, things can feel bigger than they are. It is possible there was a misunderstanding." The words slid across the desk and lodged in her throat. She thought of the way his hand had stayed, flat and heavy, long enough for her to realize he was not moving. The way he had lowered his voice, laughing close to her ear. The way she had frozen because there was no clean way to push past without making a scene. And scenes were the one thing management kept warning them about. "That is not a misunderstanding," she said. The HR rep smiled, thin and strained. "We are not saying you did anything wrong," she said. "We just want to be sure we understand the full context. Tone, body language, previous interactions. People sometimes read things differently. It is important we stay fair to everyone involved." Fair. The word felt like another policy term pulled from the training video. The supervisor spoke again, still calm. "I have always tried to support her," he said. "She is one of our strongest associates when she is focused. I have given her rides when buses were late. I check in when she looks stressed. If any of that came off wrong, that is on me. But I would never mean harm. Maybe she misunderstood my intent." There it was again. Misunderstood. The shape of the word pressed against the walls. The manager nodded. "I have only ever seen him help," he said. "He picks up extra shifts. He covers for people. From my side, this looks like support being taken the wrong way." Her hands curled into fists in her lap. "So you think I am making it up?" she said. "Careful," the manager said quietly. The HR rep raised a hand. "No one is saying that," she said. "We are just trying to reconcile different perspectives. Investigations are about facts. Intent matters. Perception matters too. But sometimes they do not line up. That is why we have a process." The word process sounded less like protection and more like a cage. They asked a few more questions. Who she had told. Whether she had ever joked with him. Whether she had ever hugged coworkers on the floor. Foot traffic in the hall that day. Cameras. She said she did not know where the cameras pointed. She had never paid attention to them before this. Finally, the HR rep closed the folder. "All right," she said. "For now, we are opening a formal investigation. We will be speaking with other staff. We ask that you do not discuss this with coworkers while it is ongoing. You will be scheduled as normal. If there is any further incident, you report it immediately." "Agreed." The words landed more like orders than support. She nodded because she did not know what else to do. Outside the office, the air felt wrong. The lights seemed brighter, the floor too shiny. A couple of coworkers glanced up as she stepped out, then dropped their eyes fast. One of them, the same woman from the shirts, drifted closer as she pretended to wipe down a counter. "How bad was it?" the coworker asked under her breath. "They said I misunderstood," she answered. The coworker's mouth tightened. "Yeah," she said. "They like that one." By the time she reached the break room, a printed notice had already appeared on the schedule board, titled with neat corporate language about maintaining a respectful workplace, a reminder that all concerns are handled through proper channels, a warning against spreading unverified information that could harm reputations. Her own schedule sat pinned just below it, unchanged for the week. Same shifts, same supervisor listed as floor lead on three of them. The HR rep's voice echoed in her head. "Formal investigation, process, misunderstanding." She stared at the board until the letters blurred. Somewhere behind her, the manager called her name again, his tone flat and unreadable. "We need to go over one more thing," he said. She turned, heart climbing into her throat, bracing for whatever came next. Chapter 2, The Second Interview. The district office sat above a strip mall that smelled like hot asphalt and fryer grease. She climbed the narrow stairs with her palms damp and her breath held too long in her chest. The hallway was lined with old posters about customer loyalty and labor targets. None of them eased the feeling that she had been pulled into something she could not control. A receptionist waved her toward a small room with a glass wall and a metal table. Two chairs waited on her side, one on theirs, like the layout assumed she would be the one splitting under pressure. She sat with her back straight, hands folded tight in her lap. The door clicked shut behind her. Two HR staff entered together. One carried a tablet. The other flipped open a binder filled with highlighted lines. Neither introduced themselves beyond first names. Their smiles looked pasted on, too bright, too practiced. "Thank you for coming in," the woman with the binder said. "We want to clarify a few points from your initial report." Her throat tightened. Clarify did not sound like support. It sounded like correction. The man with the tablet tapped the screen. "We are approaching this with an open mind," he said. "We want to ensure no one is unfairly judged. Sometimes perceptions can drift a bit when emotions are high." There it was already, the idea that she had seen wrong, felt wrong, interpreted wrong. They asked her to retell everything from the start. She went through the hallway, the doorway, the hand, the comment, the way she froze because she could not get around him without brushing against him again. The woman wrote in small loops, summarizing pieces. It looked more like a checklist than an effort to understand. "Did he raise his voice?" the man asked. "No." "Did he block the door with force?" "He stood in the way. I could not move past." "But did he physically restrain you?" "No, not restrain. But he stood there long enough that it felt intentional." "So there was no physical restraint," he said. He typed the line before she could answer again. They shifted next to her tone, how she speaks to coworkers, whether she has ever misread teasing on the floor, whether she had been feeling overwhelmed. "Your supervisor mentioned you have seemed stressed lately," the woman said carefully. "Do you think that could have affected how you interpreted things?" "I know what happened," she said. Her voice hit the table harder than she meant. "I know how it felt." The woman paused her pen. "Feelings matter," she said. "But in investigations, we also weigh intent. And sometimes what feels uncomfortable was not intended that way." The man leaned back. "In busy environments, there are a lot of accidental brushes," he said. "People passing in tight spaces, coaching moments, jokes taken out of context." She stared at them. "That was not a joke," she said. The man nodded slowly, as if humoring her. "Understood, but we need to explore all angles." They moved to her performance record. They brought up a late arrival from 2 months back. They mentioned a customer complaint the manager had resolved. None of these things had anything to do with the report, but they were writing them anyway. "Just context," the woman said. "We look at the whole picture. The whole picture, except the part that mattered." They asked about her relationship with the supervisor, whether they ever shared rides, whether she ever leaned on him for support, whether there had been any jokes between them she might not remember clearly. "No," she said, "nothing like that." The man looked at the tablet again. "He stated in his interview that he has always tried to help you when possible," he said. "He said you looked stressed the day of the incident. He thought you might have needed encouragement." Her stomach tightened. "Encouragement," she repeated. "That is his wording," the woman said. "He also said he apologizes if anything he did was misinterpreted." The word misinterpreted landed with the same weight as misunderstood. A tidy way to shrink everything into a mistake she had made. A knock sounded at the door. A coworker stepped in with a puzzled look after being summoned from a shift for questioning. The woman with the binder smiled politely. "Thanks for coming," she said. "We just want to understand what you observed that day." The coworker's eyes flicked toward her, then back to the HR staff. "I walked by," the coworker said. "I saw them near the doorway, looked like they were talking." The man leaned forward. "Did you see anything concerning?" The coworker hesitated. "I saw her look uncomfortable," she said. "That is why I slowed down." "And what made you think that?" he asked. The coworker frowned, her face, her body language. "So it is fair to say that was just your interpretation," he said. The coworker blinked. "I guess," she said, but it did not look friendly. They pressed her for more details, whether she heard words, whether she saw the supervisor touch her, whether she could confirm anything. When she said no, the man typed even faster. "Thank you," the woman said. "You are free to go." The coworker paused on her way out and mouthed a silent apology. The room closed in again. The woman folded her hands. "Do you understand why we have to be thorough?" she asked. She nodded, even though the answer did not sit right. "This is a serious allegation," the woman continued, "and we must consider the possibility of miscommunication." Her temper rose. "It was not miscommunication," she said. The man raised his eyebrows. "No need to get defensive," he said. "We are just exploring possibilities. We have a responsibility to be fair to both sides." "Fair," the word stung again. She looked at their faces and saw no sign they believed her. What she saw was a process being followed, lines being filled, boxes being checked, an outcome already forming before she arrived. "We will review all statements," the woman said. "We may follow up again if needed. We expect confidentiality from all parties. Discussing this on the floor can damage reputations." Her reputation, his reputation. The word was always plural but aimed at only one direction. The interview dragged another 20 minutes. By the end, her throat hurt from repeating details. Her memory felt scraped thin from trying to match shifts with calendar dates. When they finally closed the binder, the woman gave a small, tight smile. "Thank you for your cooperation," she said. "We will be in touch." She walked out of the office into the bright hallway. The receptionist avoided her eyes. The posters about teamwork and positivity felt like a joke. Outside, heat from the pavement rose in waves. She leaned against the railing, trying to breathe. Her phone buzzed with a message from the same coworker who had been interviewed. "They twisted everything," the message read. "Be careful." She stared at the words. Her mind replayed the questions, the tone, the careful insistence that she had read the situation wrong. Another message came in. "If you can, drop it." They already made up their mind. She closed the phone and held it in her palm. The weight felt wrong, heavy, final. That night, she sat on her bed replaying the scene in her head, over and over, trying to force the edges of her memory sharper. She looked through old schedules, tried to match breaks with shifts, tried to line up details the investigation kept tugging apart. The more she tried to anchor it, the more she felt the doubt they wanted her to feel. Maybe she had been tired. Maybe she had stepped wrong. Maybe she had misunderstood his tone. The thought scared her more than anything else. She shut her eyes and forced the memory straight again. The doorway, the hand, the laugh, the pressure. She knew what happened. She knew it like breath. But the process was pushing her toward a choice: back down and keep her job, or hold her ground and risk everything. When her alarm buzzed for morning shift, her chest felt tight. As she walked into the store, she heard someone whisper near the time clock. She could not catch the words, but she knew the shape of them. By the time she reached the sales floor, the supervisor was already there, smiling at a customer. His eyes flicked to her for 1 second. Calm, steady, certain. She felt the question forming inside her like a bruise that would not fade. What proof could ever cut through a system built to question her first? Chapter 3, The Final Word. She stood outside the manager's office before opening. The store lights were still half asleep, humming low across the sales floor. A cart clattered in the distance as someone stocked end caps. The air smelled like cardboard and lemon cleaner. Her shift had not started yet, but the summons email made it clear she was expected early. She pushed the door open. The HR representative from the first meeting sat at the desk with a closed folder. The manager leaned against a filing cabinet with his arms crossed. No smiles, no greetings, just a quiet that felt like the end of something. "Have a seat," the HR rep said. She sat spine straight, jaw tight. "We have concluded the investigation," the HR rep said. "We reviewed statements from all parties. We compared schedules. We examined the areas where the incident was reported. After weighing all available information, we found no evidence of intent to harm." The sentence hit with the dull weight of something prepared days ago. The HR rep continued, "What we believe happened is a misunderstanding. Workplace contact can be misread, especially during high-stress periods." There it was, the same line, wrapped in finality. She stared at the folder on the desk. "So that is it," she said. "We are not dismissing your feelings," the HR rep answered quickly. "We are acknowledging that interpretations differed. We are advising additional training for your supervisor to prevent future confusion. That is already in motion." The manager stepped in. "We will also be adjusting schedules to avoid unnecessary overlap," he said, "strictly for operational efficiency." He said it in a voice that left no room for argument. The HR rep folded her hands. "This outcome will be documented," she said. "If new concerns arise, you are free to bring them forward. But at this time, the investigation is closed." She breathed in slow. "I have messages," she said. She pulled out her phone and opened a saved text thread. "From that week, he wrote this after the shift." She held up the screen, a message about her looking good on the floor. Another calling her slow but worth watching. Not explicit, not clean either. The HR rep took the phone, scrolled, then placed it face down. "These comments are inappropriate," she said. "However, they do not directly confirm intent connected to the reported incident. We will add them to the file." Add them to the file, not change the outcome, not reconsider. Just store it where it could not do anything. She reached into her bag and pulled out a folded slip of paper. "I wrote this down the same day," she said, "while it was still clear in my head. A timestamp, a brief description, her own handwriting from that night." The HR rep glanced at it, slid it into the folder, and closed it again. "Thank you," she said. "We appreciate your diligence." None of it moved the conclusion an inch. The manager exhaled. "We want you to feel supported," he said, "but we also need you focused. The floor is tense right now. People are talking. If you want to stay here long term, it might help to reset and move forward from this." Reset, move forward, forget. She looked at both of them and saw a closed loop. A system designed to protect the shape of the store, not the people in it. "Is he getting written up?" she asked. "He will receive coaching," the HR rep said. Her tone stayed warm, thin, practiced. "That is the appropriate response." Coaching, the word burned. The meeting ended fast. No handshake, no reassurance she could believe. Just the click of the folder sliding into a drawer. The kind of drawer that only opened when the company needed to prove it had followed procedure. She walked out into the hallway. A coworker was waiting near the time clock, eyes wide. "Well," the coworker asked softly. "They said I misunderstood," she said. The words felt heavier this time. "Final." The coworker swore under her breath. "You know they have camera angles," she said. "I heard from someone in loss prevention. They looked at footage right after your report. They said there was a clip, but the angle did not show contact clear enough, so they called it nothing." The hallway tilted for a second. "They saw it," she said. "They saw something," the coworker replied, "but they went with the angle that helped them sleep better." Heat rose behind her eyes. She held it down, steadying her breath. "So what now?" the coworker asked. She did not answer. "She walked through the sales morning," he said, calm, easy, untouched. She kept walking. Near the break room door, she stopped and stared for a long moment. The hallway where it happened. The place she kept returning to in her head. The official story said she misunderstood. The schedule changes said something else. The training he would receive said something else. The camera angle said something else. All of it true in different ways. All of it arranged to keep the peace. She knew the decision waiting inside her chest. It sat there like a locked safe. Stay silent and survive the job, or refuse the version of events they handed her, even if it cost her the one thing they expected her to protect. She reached for her badge and clipped it straighter. Then she turned toward the front doors, breathing slow, stepping into the day with the question burning clear inside her. What is the real cost of refusing to accept you misunderstood?